Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Catherine Drew. Donald Trump was shown highly classified intelligence indicating Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered cyber attacks to sway the 2016 American election before his inauguration, according to the New York Times. President Trump is continuing to defend his handling of the issue on Twitter. From Washington, FSN's Daniel Wrenches has more.
The New York Times article indicates that the evidence provided to Donald Trump before he took power included references to texts and emails from Russian military officers and a source close to Vladimir Putin, indicating the Russian president ordered a campaign of hacking and disinformation to influence the 2016 election. In a flurry of Twitter messages on the issue, Donald Trump's saying the summit with Russia was a great success, except with the real enemy of the people, the fake news media, a response to criticism of his shifting positions on attribution of blame to Russia. I'm Daniel Wrenches in Washington.
A British government minister has played down claims that police have identified several Russians involved in the attempted poisoning of a former Russian double agent and his daughter. Security Minister Ben Wallace described the claims of an unnamed source quoted by the Press Association as ill-informed and wild speculation. From London, FSN's Paul Barber has more.
A source close to the investigation into the attempted murder of Sergei and Yulia Skripal has told the Press Association that the investigators believe they've identified those responsible for that attack through CCTV footage and cross-checking the records of people who entered the country around that time. The source is reported to have said that investigators are sure the suspects are Russian. Russia has denied any involvement in the attempted assassination, which involved the nerve agent Novichok, and prompted a massive investigation and clean-up in Salisbury. However, Ben Wallace has taken to Twitter to describe the claims as ill-informed and wild speculation. It comes as an inquest has been opened and adjourned into the death of 44-year-old Dawn Sturgis, who died after apparently coming into contact with Novichok accidentally. Police believe she and her partner Charlie Rowley, who is recovering from the poisoning, found the substance used in the first attack in a discarded perfume bottle. Paul Barber, London.
Arab Israeli MPs have expressed outrage after the Israeli parliament passed a controversial law that defines the country as an exclusively Jewish state, with the whole and united Jerusalem as the capital. The Jewish nation-state bill downgrades Arabic as an official language and endorses advancing Jewish settlement. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has described the new legislation as a defining moment. 40 migrants, including two pregnant women, are stuck at sea off the coast of Tunisia after being denied docking rights in Malta and Italy. The NGO rescue ship is another vessel caught in the middle of an ongoing migration policy dispute in Europe. From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Thanks very much, Catherine Drew. Thank you. Welcome to Thursday's programme. Scorching day here in South Manchester. The hot summer continues, the heat wave continues. Hope you've had a good Thursday. Hope all is well in your world. Tweet at Richie Allen Show right now. Let me know what you're thinking about the big stories today and anything else, really.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show. It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Now, this hour, I'll be joined by the spokeswoman for the women's rights organisation Fair Play for Women, Dr. Nicola Williams. Spoke with Nicola a little earlier today. Looking forward to her coming on. You know that there's been a consultation, a government consultation, looking at changing the Gender Recognition Act of 2004. And some trans rights campaigners want to basically make it so that self-identification, basically a trans person can choose to identify as a trans man or a trans woman without the need, as has been the case, to get a certificate and to see a doctor, right? Medical experts ordinarily would have to assess you before you could get a gender recognition certificate. But they want to change that and introduce the concept of self identification. Both women and some feminist groups are very worried about that and what it might mean for the safety of women. We'll talk to Dr. Nicola Williams this hour. We've talked about this quite a bit in the last year or so. Looking forward to that. And in the second hour of the programme, the Skype and telephone line is open to you. You can talk about that subject, of course, or anything else you like as well. The numbers are on the memes, which are on Twitter now, and I think they're on Facebook as well. I will give you the numbers before I open the phone line. It's Thursday, July 19th, 2018. It's always good to be with you live on Fab Radio 2 here in Manchester, triggerwarning.tv, my own website, and of course TuneIn Radio, where, if you're wondering, statistically most people listen is through TuneIn Radio. There you are. Little stat there for you. 5 minutes past the hour. Ah, Murphy's Law, dear listener. Murphy's Law. My great friend, Tez, from Salford. He rang me in the week, Tez. He said, do you want to go to the Lancashire-Yorkshire T20 match tomorrow night at Old Trafford? I said, lovely, Tez, lovely. I just looked at the forecast. It's supposed to start at 6:30 tomorrow. It's supposed to rain till about 9 o'clock. Mother of God! You can't, you don't have any luck. If it wasn't for bad luck, sometimes you think you'd have no luck at all. Anyway, hopefully the weatherman or the weatherwoman, is wrong. Right, here's a serious story. Only 9% of crimes end with suspects being charged or even summoned. Now, this is England and Wales, not Scotland. That's according to the Home Office. Imagine that, only 9%. In the 12 months to March, 443,000 crimes resulted in a charge or summons. And that's out of 4.6 million offences reported. That's the lowest detection rate since 2015. The data shows that police closed nearly half of all cases because they couldn't identify any suspect. This comes out, it's a bad time for the police because new figures also show that homicides are on the increase in this country and Wales, in England and Wales, for the fourth year in a row. These statistics are published at the same time as quarterly crime figures and the crime survey for England and Wales. That survey, by the way, is based on people's experiences of crime. Right, doesn't make for good reading, does it? Now, former Detective Chief Inspector with the Met, former Detective Chief Inspector Peter Kirkham, who you've heard on this programme a couple of times recently, Peter spoke with Sky News and unsurprisingly, isn't at all surprised by the figures. Peter Kirkham.
Absolutely not surprised at all. If only somebody had been pointing out that 8 years of relentless cuts was going to mean, with a bit of a time lag of 3 to 5 years for it to work through, was going to result in street crime especially going through the roof. If only somebody had been pointing that out. Well, we did, and so did the Federation, and we were sarcastically dismissed as crime wolf by Theresa May when she was Home Secretary. She has been warned about this, we have told her about this, and she has chosen to ignore it.
Well, obviously, Theresa May isn't here to defend herself, but we have had a statement from the Home Office, which says that the Independent Office for National Statistics is clear that the likelihood of being a victim remains low. However, every violent crime is a significant concern, and the government is taking decisive action to tackle it. They go on to say, we recognise that crime is changing and that police demand is becoming increasingly complex. We continue to deliver on the 61 commitments contained in our serious violence strategy, which emphasises a renewed focus on steering young people away from violence while continuing to ensure the strongest possible law enforcement response. What do you make of that?
Usual Home Office nonsense. Words, they're not. It's not action. Public space is not safer. Public space is now significantly less safe because what we haven't got there is what the crime prevention world would call capable guardians. That would be the police officers patrolling public space. They're just not there anymore.
Capable guardians are just not there anymore. This has come up several times on the programme in the last couple of years as well. The fact that if you're out and about in any community, whether it's here in South Manchester, whether it's Birmingham, whether it's London, in the evenings around the neighbourhoods, so around housing estates and the like, you just don't see bobbies on the beat, it just doesn't exist anymore. So for those bobbies who are out there but snowed under with, I suppose, casework and collapsing under the load of that casework, what is life like for them today? Peter Kirkham pulls no punches.
They're stressed beyond endurance. They are going sick with stress. They are going out on ill health pensions. They're just choosing to leave and go and drive trains. They are getting out in their droves. The workload is unrelenting. It's unsustainable. And yet we get chief officers and the College of Policing just saying, oh, well, we're going to do better training and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. They are all either in denial or deliberately ignoring, for some reason, the fact that you need more police officers.
Yeah, he says deliberately ignoring. Now, when I spoke with Peter a couple of times, I brought up the inevitable privatisation, but yet he wouldn't countenance the idea that it's deliberate. And I believe he speaks the truth, but I also believe he's wrong. Because Peter and men and women like him, brilliant though they are and well-meaning though they are, they always seem to determine that it's sloppy, bad management of resources. They never see the conspiracy. And here, the ultimate conspiracy, in my opinion, is to eventually, not overnight, but to farm out certain duties and activities by the police to private corporations. That's where it begins. Here's an interesting one reported by the BBC today and multiple bureaus, news bureaus around the world. Facebook head Mark Zuckerberg, founder, whatever you want to call him, has apparently dropped himself right in the middle of a massive old row, saying, Zuckerberg, that posts from Holocaust deniers should be allowed on Facebook. When and where did he say this? Well, he gave an interview to technology website Recode, and Zuckerberg said that basically he didn't believe Holocaust deniers should be removed from the site. He said they were not intentionally getting their facts wrong. The gist of it is, Zuckerberg says that this is what they genuinely believe. They're not saying it to offend Jewish folks. They're not saying it to offend people in general. They're saying it because they believe it. If so, it should be left there. So there was a backlash, of course, a Twitter sphere backlash, and apparently later on he issued some sort of a clarification. And I think when he issued a clarification, I think he just doubled down on what he said, basically. They've come in for obviously a lot of scrutiny recently, Facebook, because it has said that it would begin to remove misinformation from its pages and from groups and such like. He was asked in this interview with Recode about Facebook's policy on fake news. And when asked about fake news, he volunteered Holocaust deniers. He wasn't asked about Holocaust deniers at all. He said, I'm Jewish, and there's a set of people who deny the Holocaust happened. I find it offensive, said Zuckerberg, but at the end of the day, I don't believe that our platform should take that down, because I think there are things that different people get wrong. I don't think they're intentionally getting it wrong. Everyone gets things wrong, and if we were taking down people's accounts when they got a few things wrong, then that would be a hard word for giving people a voice and saying that you care about that. Very interesting, isn't it? Editor of anti-fascist magazine Searchlight, a guy called Jerry Gable, told the BBC, Zuckerberg could kill much of this dangerous material getting worldwide distribution, but he's like a spoilt teenager. Don't know what to make of that, really. I've said on this programme 1,000 times, and I've interviewed people on the far right, and I've interviewed people on the far left, and I don't agree with their position on the Holocaust, but I also don't agree with criminalising opinions that we disagree with. And I don't believe that Holocaust denial, even though I disagree with it, should be a crime. So it's interesting. I don't know where Zuckerberg is going with this. But anyway, here's an interesting one. Manchester story. You might have seen this today. Students have defaced a mural featuring the, I don't know, I suppose you'd say iconic Rudyard Kipling poem, If. Manchester students, maybe not from Manchester, but students at the uni, defaced a mural featuring Rudyard Kipling's If, apparently in a stand against his racist work. The poem, which was penned in 1895, was painted on a wall of Manchester Uni's new union building, student union building, which has recently been renovated. But student leaders erased the work, replacing it with a piece by Maya Angelou in a bid to reverse black and brown voices being written out of history. I'd say it's vandalism myself. I don't know. The students' union apologised for failing to consult students on its choice of poem. Nobody wants to stand up to these fascists. They defaced a lovely mural depicting the poem If, which is a marvellous poem, inspirational. And rather than call them out for their vandalism, the union is apologising to the criminals who defaced an artwork. Riddhi Viswanathan, who's the student union's diversity officer, said elected members representing students felt Kipling was not in line with our values, singling out his poem The White Man's Burden. She said, Riddhi Viswanathan, it's important for us to represent the voices of black and brown students, which is why we felt Kipling's poem was completely inappropriate. Yeah, I'll leave that one there. I think you know what my opinion is on that one. Here's an important story, 16 minutes past the hour. The UK, as you might know, dear listener, you might not, but the UK, like other countries, has a list. And they check it twice every day. And on the list is basically contains countries that the UK believes flagrantly abuse human rights. So the UK has a list. And on that list is countries that are bad, bad boys and girls that abuse human rights. You might think that we wouldn't do any business with such countries. You'd be wrong. As RT reports here, the UK has actually doubled down on sales of weapons to these countries, RT.
The UK has nearly doubled arms sales to countries on its own list of human rights abusers in the last year. Campaign Against Arms Trade says the government approved £1.5 billion worth of sales last year, compared to £820 million in 2016. Of these, deals with Saudi Arabia total £1.13 billion and with Israel £221 million.
Right. OK. Flagrant abusers of human rights, but we'll double down on our arms sales to those countries. Yeah, lovely. Saudi Arabia, Israel. Andrew Smith of Campaign Against Arms Trade is not a happy bunny. He spoke with RT. Andrew Smith. We'll try that again, will we? Andrew Smith.
For years and years now, the UK has been consistently selling arms to some of the most brutal and oppressive regimes around the world. And every year the government compiles its own report of countries of concern for human rights and democracy. And every single year the government is also arming and supporting a lot of these same regimes which it's criticising itself. Now in the last year the UK has armed 18 of the 30 countries on the list. It's sold some incredibly deadly equipment to a lot of those regimes. In fact, £1.5 billion worth of military equipment has been licensed from the UK to governments who are on its own blacklist. Well, public opinion has always been very clear. The public is overwhelmingly opposed to arms exports to human rights abusing regimes and dictatorships. And yet the UK and other arms dealing governments are selling billions of pounds worth of these weapons. Part of this is because it's what they've always done, and it's something which governments of all political colours in the UK have pursued. Part of it is also because of the huge influence and sums of money involved for the arms companies. The arms companies will be putting a lot of money into lobbying. The focus has to be on getting arms away from human rights abusing regimes and away from war zones. Right now, UK-made fighter jets and UK-made bombs are playing a central role in the terrible devastation of Yemen. And yet, since that terrible bombardment began in 2015, the UK has licensed over £4 billion worth of arms to the Saudi regime, which is leading that bombardment. The UK government must take action. It must end its complicity in the terrible humanitarian catastrophe taking place in Yemen.
It's unimaginable evil. If you were to give a weapon of any description to a man or a woman whom you knew 100%, you knew for a fact was going to go down the road and murder somebody with that weapon, you're an accessory before the fact, as well as an accessory after the fact, I suppose. And this government, this satanically evil government licenses the sale of arms to countries, knowing full well those arms are going to be used to devastate and to brutalise some of the poorest and most defenceless people on planet Earth. And outside of RT and the independent media, nobody talks about this. US President Donald Trump, moving on, has said that he now holds Russian leader Vladimir Putin personally responsible for Russian interference in the presidential election of 2016. Trump sat down with CBS News and he said in the interview, he said Putin must be held responsible for what happens in Russia. And he said to the interviewer that he did make this clear to Putin at their meeting in Helsinki on Monday. This is Trump with CBS. Yeah.
Say you agree with US intelligence that Russia meddled in the election in 2016.
Yeah, and I've said that before, Jeff. I have said that numerous times before. And I would say that that is true, yeah.
But you haven't condemned Putin specifically. Do you hold him personally responsible?
Well, I would, because he's in charge of the country, just like I consider myself to be responsible for things that happen in this country. So certainly, as the leader of a country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
What'd you say to him?
Very strong on the fact that we can't have meddling, we can't have any of that. Now, look, we're also living in a grown-up world. Will a strong statement, you know, President Obama supposedly made a strong statement. Nobody heard it. What they did hear is the statement he made to Putin's very close friend. And that statement was not acceptable. Didn't get very much play, relatively speaking, but that statement was not acceptable. But I let him know we can't have this. We're not going to have it. And that's the way it's going to be.
But he denies it. So if you believe U.S. intelligence agencies, is Putin lying to you?
I don't want to get into whether or not he's lying. I can only say that I do have confidence in our intelligence agencies as currently constituted. I think that Dan Coats is excellent. I think that Gina is excellent. I think we have excellent people in the agencies. And when they tell me something, it means a lot.
Hmm. I wonder what Trump's supporters think of that capitulation. I'm not going to elaborate on that. I've said enough about it this week. This is the Richie Allen Show, and it is 22 minutes past the hour. I'll take a very quick break. Very interesting. Dr. Nicola Williams joins me in a minute. We're going to talk about proposed changes to the Gender Recognition Act and why women and feminists are worried about what that means for the safety and well-being of women. It's very serious. We've talked a lot about it over the last couple of years. We've had trans men and women on the programme, though sadly, not today. And increasingly of late, people on the other side of this debate, the trans activists, are increasingly reluctant to engage in civilised debate with people like myself who disagree with them and disagree with them in a human way, fully compassionate and fully understanding of people's rights and believing in people's right to live as they want to live, but not supportive. I've never been and never will be supportive of some of the measures they want to introduce to foist on and impose on people, the likes of the bathroom issue and women-only spaces. I don't have any interest, I have no time for that at all. But the trans activists refuse to come on this programme. A couple of them in recent months have agreed to come on and then have chosen at the last minute not to come on, which is not very good, I don't think. But anyway, Dr. Nicola Williams in about 2 minutes.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever. Forever.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
Yeah, welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. The Twitter handle... I don't know what that is. There you are. Right, we've gotten rid of it. The Twitter handle, of course, to comment on the programme is at Richie Allen Show. Couldn't be simpler. Now, as I said at the top of the show, proposed changes to the Gender Recognition Act, which would make transitioning from one gender to another easier, have caused a big row between transgender rights organisations and women and feminists in the country. As it stands, the law requires a doctor's diagnosis of gender dysphoria, and the person has to have lived as their preferred gender for 2 years. They will then be assessed by a panel of medical experts. But trans rights campaigners want to make that process less difficult by introducing self-identification, which would basically allow them to obtain the certificate just by identifying as the preferred gender without the medical assessments and the bureaucracy. Now, some feminist groups and women are very much against this, and they say this self-identification law could be abused and could put women at risk. They say they are interested in protecting women and girls and not denying rights to trans people. And my guest this hour is a research scientist specialising in human biology who authored a recent study on transgender prisoners. She's also the spokeswoman for the women's rights organisation Fair Play for Women. Delighted to welcome to the programme Dr. Nicola Williams. Nicola, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello, thank you.
Nice to have you on. Thanks for coming on. Let's just get this out of the way, Nicola. I watched the Sky presentation today, which is running all day, and I thought Sky were pretty fair. I thought it was balanced. I saw you on it, very interested in what you had to say. And there was a woman called Jess Bradley, who's the transgender officer for the National Union of Students. And she identifies as a non-binary woman, tried to reach Jess Bradley but couldn't. She says that it feels extremely painful to have a group of people campaigning against your participation in everyday life. When trans activists say that to women like yourself, how do you respond to it?
Well, I think before, you know, I can actually answer that question, I think it might be useful just to explain the difference between two terms here, because this is where we often get tripped up and why it's difficult for people to understand. And this is the difference between the word sex and the difference between the word gender. Now, transgender people have a gender identity, and I've got no problem, and I don't think any women do, with someone having a gender identity and living in that gender as if they are in a certain way of living in role as the opposite sex. But what is the problem is when someone says that that gender identity means they have actually changed their sex, so that somebody is actually a female. Now, that is when it starts to impinge on women's rights, which are sex-based rights. So, you know, when we think of the word sex and we think of the word gender, we often use those interchangeably. But actually, they're very different. sexes, you know, there are two sexes, male and female. It's about biology, it's about reproduction. You know, the male provides the sperm and the female provides the egg. You know, we all know what sex, the two sexes are. But a gender identity, that's about stereotypes. It's about the way someone looks or feels or behaves. So as a society, we often consider certain ways of behaving to be feminine and certain ways to be masculine. And so gender is more of an inner sense of someone's identity rather than a reflection of their actual biological sex. So someone can feel like a man, but that's not the same as being a male. And someone can feel like a woman, but that's not the same as being a member of the female sex. So that's what we always have to have in mind when we look at this debate. I've got no problem with anyone having a gender identity. It's simply that that gender identity does not give them the right to call themselves the opposite sex, because they are not
the opposite sex. Give us an idea, Nicola, of how that has impacted on the rights of women in the recent past and where it might lead, because that's very interesting. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, if we just look at the history of this, I mean, back in 2004 was when the Gender Recognition Act was introduced. Now, we should call this really the Sex Recognition Act, because it was the piece of law that allows somebody to change the sex on their birth certificate. Now, the reason that was introduced was for to help transsexual people, and these are people that have a real sense of discomfort between their inner sense of gender and their actual biological sex. So that's called gender dysphoria, and these people feel so uncomfortable that they want to change their body to more to resemble the opposite sex. And so the law was introduced to allow these people to change the sex on their birth certificate. We all knew that this law was a fiction, but it was done on compassionate grounds to help people live privately as members of the opposite sex. But there was only about 5,000 people back then in 2004 that were considered transsexual. So it was a very small minority. Now, that was, you know, we managed that back in 2004. But what's different now, and this is the crux of why women have a problem now, is because the number of people that are considering themselves to be transgender is now, I mean, you know, skyrocketed. There are thought to be 500,000 people that identify as trans.
Do you believe that? Is that credible? Sorry to interrupt you. That figure is extraordinary to me in a country of 60-odd million, that 500,000. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, the thing is, we just don't know. This is an estimate made by transgender organisations. And you know, there's no way of knowing how many people there actually are.
Okay.
But there are certainly a lot more now than there was back, you know, just a handful of people back in 2004. But so there are more people, but there's also, these people consider themselves to be transgender rather than transsexual. So that means they don't necessarily have gender dysphoria. They don't necessarily even want surgery. In fact, very few of these people have what we would call sex change surgery, you know, which is genital surgery. But what these people now want is the laws relaxed so that they can also change their birth certificate. They don't want doctors involved, and they don't want to have to wait 2 years. They want to just sign a form and change their birth certificate. Now, there's no disputing that that would make life easier for these transgender people. You know, they wouldn't have to send in documents, they wouldn't have to go and get medical reports. But the downside is that if you take away all the rules, it means literally anyone can change their birth certificate. And that means any male could change their birth certificate to female and then be considered a woman in all situations. Now, that is why women have got a problem with this, because it will impact the safety, also the privacy and dignity of women, and also fairness in sports, for example. So,
have we already, Nicola, sorry to interrupt you, have we already seen a worst case scenario? I think I read a story in one of the Sunday newspapers that a man who identifies as a woman but who hasn't transitioned actually assaulted women, more than one woman, in a women's prison before being moved And I double-checked that. There were three or four different sources to verify that story. This is the sort of worst-case scenario that you're worried about.
Exactly, because what's actually happening is that organisations, and for example the prison service, the police and the government, are running ahead of this law change. And actually they are implementing policies of self-ID already. So that means that if someone says that they, so if a male prisoner, for example, says he is transgender and is considers himself to be a woman, if he can show that he is, you know, he's lived for as a woman for a certain length of time, and he is, you know, legitimate in his belief of being transgender, in some circumstances, these people can be moved into women's prisons. And that was exactly what this case you've just mentioned was about. There was a man who identifies now as a woman who was moved into a woman's prison. And then within days of moving there, it's alleged that he has sexually assaulted four women, four female prisoners. Now, this man has had no surgery. He is in a male body. Now, I believe that is wrong. He should not be allowed to live in a women's prison. And so we're already seeing some of the signs of why it's a problem for women. But if we change the law so that literally any male prisoner doesn't even have to go and talk to a panel to say, please let me, you know, go into a women's prison. If it becomes automatic because he's got a female birth certificate, then, you know, how on earth would that... it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous to think that male prisoners could choose to live in a women's prison.
It's not fair
on the women prisoners.
I mentioned to you today, and I don't hide behind the pretense of objectivity. I'm not objective. I'm very sympathetic to the arguments that you make, Nicola, and my audience is not stupid. They know that. The flip side of that, though, is if a man and his gender dysphoria is absolutely genuine and believes that he's a woman and wants to live like that, and he is sent to prison, the flip side is he might say, well, I need to be protected as well, because if I go to a male prison, there is a chance that if I'm not isolated, and who wants to live like that in isolation, I could be subject to, you know, abuse and battery and violence from the male inmates. So what do we do in that situation?
Well, we have to make male prisons safer. I mean, there are vulnerable prisoner wings. There are lots of types of male prisoners that would be targeted by other males. I mean, the problem here is male violence. It is not a problem for women to solve by putting themselves at risk so that these males can be moved into the apparently safer environment of a women's prison. What has to happen is that the male prisons have to be safer, and these prisoners all have to be protected. You know, it's not good enough to say that it's too dangerous for these people to be in a male prison, and so they must go over to a female prison. That puts women at risk. So, you know, we have to remember as well, there are laws in place. There are transgender people have rights set down in the Equality Act that protects them from discrimination, and it protects them from hate discrimination as well. So the prisoner who is transgender, who is a transgender woman, he will be allowed to live in role as a woman in that prison. He'll be able to wear a dress, he'll be able to change his name, things like that. So he is accommodated within the prison system, but it is not right to say that he must therefore move into a women's prison, because then there are safety implications there for the women. And remember, these women don't get a chance to decide whether they want to live with a male-bodied person. You know, they are in prison. They have no choice. And this group of women are one of the most vulnerable in society. They have a history of domestic abuse and sexual abuse. You know, it's like putting some of the most dangerous men in with some of the most vulnerable women.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean,
it mustn't happen.
It is crazy. And I imagine the prison service has left itself wide open for serious litigation, because, you know, if it was my sister or my daughter who was in that situation in prison, however she found herself in prison, and this happened to her, I'd want retribution, you know, legal retribution. Mm. Dr. Nicola Williams is on the programme, the spokeswoman for the women's rights organisation Fair Play for Women. She's a research scientist specialising in human biology. Nicola, here's a question for you now. Is there any scientific consensus at all on what it is that trans men and women are going through? I can be a bit ham-fisted at times when I talk about these issues. You know, I'm probably a typical bloke, but I am compassionate. I have time for people. I do know one or two trans folks, having worked in radio and entertainment all my life. And I am sympathetic to people's rights to live the way they want and be left alone. But I also agree with the points you made. But I'm also very interested in the science, because you'll get trans folk who will say to you, it's, well, the science is on the side that this is absolutely natural and that people can be born in the wrong body. And then you will hear from scientists and academics who will say that it's dysphoria, it's a type of disorder. Is there any consensus, or is it all up in the air?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's absolutely no scientific evidence whatsoever to suggest that somebody is born in the wrong body. You know, there have been studies on the brains of transgender people, and basically we can't even tell the difference between male and female brains, let alone see if somebody has got a more male brain than a female brain. You know, the science really does not stack up to say that this is a mismatch of brain and body. But what there is such a thing called gender dysphoria, which is a psychological condition where someone does feel genuine discomfort in the body that they are in. And so that is something we do need to take seriously, and it's something we need to have compassion for, and it's something that we need to make sure people are not discriminated against because they have this issue. So, you know, gender dysphoria is real, but the concept that a transgender person is born in the wrong body or has the brain of a woman but is in the body of a man, there is no scientific evidence whatsoever to back that up. And, you know, we've got to remember that brains are very malleable. They, you know, they change based on experience. So, you know, if you take the brain and you look at the brain of somebody who has lived the life sort of as a woman for a long time, those experiences will be what will be shaping the brain, rather than the fact of there being sort of some intrinsic femaleness to that brain. So, you know, the science, I think, is, you know, it's often brought up that there's, you know, it's proven that transgender is a real thing. Now, there is no credible evidence for that.
One of the things that I've been very interested in when covering this is the institutions of the state changing language. And when I first heard this sort of stuff, Nicola, I thought it was people exaggerating, because we do live in this kind of a post-truth world where when people feel very strongly about something, they're inclined to exaggerate and overhype stories. And I used to hear stories about, you know, the General Medical Council recommending that we don't say pregnant woman anymore, lest it offend a trans woman. And I used to think, Nicola, this was absolute nonsense. I didn't believe any of this until I looked a bit deeper into it and saw that this is actually happening. Now, I'm inclined to laugh. You know, I just laugh at stuff. I don't mock, I don't deride, but I just laugh because I think, what else can you do? And then I heard that the Labour Party were looking to select a female-only candidate. Oh, by the way, Nicola, this is where you and I, maybe in a future programme, we might disagree. I don't believe in positive discrimination. We might have an argument in the future, you and I. But for the moment, we'll stay on the same page. I don't believe in positive discrimination. I'm an idealist. I believe the best person should get the job, no matter who they are, man, woman, black, white, gay, straight, doesn't matter. Anyway, long story short, when I heard that the Labour Party decided to select women-only candidates, I thought, well, that's a bit silly. I don't agree with it, even if politics is male-dominated. However, then I saw that trans women were getting in there, and then married to this changing of the language, I thought, this is a bit mad. And then at the same time, trans folk were contacting me, telling me, Richie, we don't know where this stuff is coming from. I'm a trans man and I don't agree with this sort of thing, or I'm a trans woman and I don't want to impose or inflict this on society. So where is it coming from, Nicola? Where's all this coming from?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's fair to say that there is a group of quite militant trans activists who are pushing this agenda here. They're very vocal and they're very extreme in their views. And I don't think they do represent the average transgender person who, as you say, would like to just get on with life quietly, not impose. And, you know, there has been a women and transgender people have lived together relatively happily over the years. You know, trans women have been obviously going into women's toilets, and I think most women will have accommodated that. However, what's happening now is that the transgender activists are demanding entry into women's spaces. They're demanding that they take our language, they take the word woman, and they take the word female, and they take our rights. Now, that is when, you know, things are now going too far, and that's actually causing a problem now between the communities. And I think that's as unfair and as problematic for the general transgender population as it is for women, really. And I do know a lot of transgender people who agree with me that they think it is a crazy idea to reform the Gender Recognition Act to make it a self identification system, because it undermines the seriousness of what they've been through, if literally anyone can do it. So I think this is coming from a group of people that have a political ideology that they want to get women's rights and the language, and I don't think they're actually working on behalf of the average transgender person.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Some of the more recent extremes, we'll just keep another couple of minutes. I just want to put one final question to you. Before I do that, though, I want to remind our listeners, Dr. Nicola Williams is on the programme, Fair Play for Women, Google that. I'll put a link out to it on Twitter, as well as drnicolawilliams.com, that's Nicola's website. She's a research scientist, human biologist, and the spokeswoman for the women's rights organisation, as I said, Fair Play for Women. Those recent examples of athletes winning college sprints in America, and they were, you know, boys who identified as girls. Again, the silliness of that, and the thoughts that when you express your opinion saying that it's silly, that you get accused of hate and bigotry when nothing could be further from the truth. I watched that race on YouTube, and it was like, it takes me back to when Ben Johnson won the Olympics in Seoul in Korea, and he was cheating, taking steroids. It was ridiculous. You know, it was basically a very powerful young man running against women, and the, you know, the school okayed it, and the local state commission for athletics okayed it. And I thought, this is absolutely crazy. Final question for you. Some of our listeners are concerned that in recent days, the national newspapers, the broadsheets and the tabloids, are talking about how children are being asked to consider some of these ideas. And parents are worried about it. And I've had primary school children's parents contact me privately. I'm not going to say many, I'm not going to exaggerate, but one or two, saying, Richie, they're talking about gender identity to my seven-year-old, and I'm really not happy about it. I don't like it, and I think it might be harmful to their development. What do you think, Nicola?
I think it's a very serious issue, actually, talking to children about gender, because it is talked about to children as if someone actually can change sex, when we can't do that. What we should be telling children is that they can be and live however they like. Gender stereotypes shouldn't actually define who anyone is. So if a boy wants to do things that, you know, typically girls like, so what? You know, that's fine. What we mustn't say to that boy is that if you want to do those girls' things, you have to be a girl. Now, that is where it becomes dangerous, because that sets a child on a path to lifelong medical treatment and sterilisation. Because if these children then grow up thinking that, well, actually, I think I must be a boy inside or a girl inside, you know, they will want to have puberty blockers, and these are untested on children. You know, we don't know what the impact is on normal puberty. And then they'll go on hormones, and they'll go, that will push them through an artificial puberty in the of the opposite sex. So a boy, for example, if he's put on estrogen, he will grow breasts like a girl, but of course he'll still be male. You know, he will still physically be a boy. And a girl, if they go on testosterone, they become infertile, and they will grow facial hair. And these things are irreversible. So we've got children that potentially could be pushed onto a pathway that then they can't get off. And at the age of, you know, around puberty, you know, people don't really know. Children don't have the life experience to know what it really means to want to live life as the opposite sex. And so as adults, I think we have a responsibility to look after the children and to not give them these ideas that really are false. Children cannot change sex, but what they can do is they can be free and live in any way they like and do anything they like.
And find their own way.
And a boy can do girls' things and vice versa.
And find their own way. Absolutely final question.
Exactly.
Absolutely final question. Where is this going to go then, this consultation? Do you think that the activists who want self-identification to be made very, very simple, do you think they're going to win the day? Nicola, how's it going?
Well, I mean, I hope they don't win. And I don't think they will, actually, because I think the public's behind us. What's been happening so far is that the voices of women and voices like mine have been silenced, because anyone that dares to step out of line and say, hold on a minute, sex can't change, gets shouted down. I've been giving talks at meetings for women, and there have been people protesting outside with banners, calling me transphobic and saying that I am talking hate speech. Now, what's happening now is, while this consultation is happening, women are getting braver. They're standing up and they're talking about this now. And that's what needs to happen. Because the public, when they look at this, they know that it's madness to allow anyone to change their birth certificate. So what I'm hoping is, by coming on shows like this and other things that we're trying to do, is to raise awareness of what the government is trying to do, and for people to fill in the consultation, give their views and say no. We do need some rules when it comes to changing a sex on a birth certificate. And so people can come to the Fair Pay website. There'll be guidance on there about how to fill in the consultation. And we've got until October to get the public knowing about this and to give their views. Because once the consultation ends, we won't have a chance to speak again. It will then be up to the MPs to decide what they do. And you know, I think it's pretty clear, if you ask people in the general public, they're against this idea. And in fact, there was a poll just a few weeks ago, and it showed that 80% of the public were actually not in favour of a self-ID system. So as long as the public get a chance to give their views freely, I think it will be a clear message to the government not to do this. But we have to speak in this consultation. We can't be complacent, because otherwise the trans activists will push this through.
And I've invited frequently in recent weeks the more strong and the more militant of the trans activists to come on the programme, and without any success. In fact, it was a point that Sky News made themselves today. It's difficult to get them to come on, either to do a one-to-one or to speak opposite yourself, and that ain't good for anybody. Nicola, thanks. Folks, go to fairplayforwomen.com, fairplayforwomen.com, to learn more about it, the consultation, and why it matters so much to women. Not just feminists, but to women. And go to drnicolawilliams.com as well. Nicola, let's catch up closer to the time. We'll see where we are then. And in the meantime, thanks for doing it. Look after yourself. And we'll wait and see in October where it's going. And that'll be a good time to catch up again. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you.
Cheers. Bye for now. Nicola Williams, Dr. Nicola Williams, live on the programme. Fairplayforwomen.com and drnicolawilliams.com. A few tweets on that. Tweet at Richie Allen Show and let me know what you're thinking. You can email the programme as well. I'm going to have a brand new email address for the show next week. because the email server with richieallen.co.uk, no reflection whatsoever on my webmaster, who's an amazing man. You know him very well. Hayden Hughes done an amazing job, but I'm not happy with the server. It's down to me more than anything, and I want to get a new email address for the show to open it up. I am going to come off Twitter in the near future, as I said yesterday. When I left Facebook some months ago, I said I would eventually come off Twitter as well, and I want to make it very easy for people to leave comments in real time during the programme. And I know that some of the regular tweeters will be worried about the idea of me coming off Twitter, and they will think that they can't reach me during the programme. Not true. I'm going to make it easy to do that, as easy. I just don't want to be involved with Twitter or with Facebook. That's basically the way it is. It's exactly 5 minutes to the top of the hour, Thursday, July 19th, 2018. Let's have a musical number. Let's have a tune. Let's have a turn. This is Dodgy and Good Enough on the Richie Allen Show. Going to be opening to Skype and the phone real soon. Give you the details in a minute. The meme is on Twitter. Don't ever sing along with the music. Rule number one. There's no rule number two, because if you get that one wrong, you're out the door. Dodgy and Good Enough on the Richie Allen Show. 2 minutes to the top of the hour. Very interesting stuff there from Dr. Nicola Williams. October should be interesting. The other side of that, the trans activists are very rude. They're very rude. They're very hostile towards people who don't agree with them. They call them hateful, they call them bigots, they call them Nazis. What they won't do is engage with them. They don't want to engage with anybody. Nobody wants to engage with anybody anymore. This is the century of the self, the era of narcissism. Nobody wants to be confronted by or to listen to anything which, well, ruffles their savoir-faire, Dean, my man. Nobody wants to hear anything that contradicts their core beliefs. And if it continues down that path, we're fooked, dear listener. That's what you're getting with people. You know, screaming abuse and hate. Nobody wants to understand. Why does that person think as they do? Wouldn't it be interesting to sit down with them and find out how you came to your conclusions? You might even learn something. You're lecturing now, Alan. Yes, I am. And I think I might have given that lecture 100,000 times in the last 3 years. Now, let me give you the contact details for the programme, because in a minute I will be taking your calls. Priority, as usual, given to those who have not phoned me before. And I understand that my friend mentioned on Twitter and on Facebook that feel free to call me if you specifically disagree with something that was said on the programme. It makes it infinitely more interesting. And I've got very thick skin, and I know that I'm not always right. I know that I'm right as much as I'm wrong, and I'm wrong as much as I'm right. So if you don't like what I have to say about Donald Trump and politics in general, or Jeremy Corbyn, give me a ring. If you think I'm wrong about people like Sean Yaxley, Lennon, whatever his name is, Tommy Robinson, give me a ring. You can say what you want, just be nice about it. That's all you have to be, just like me. Just listen, be nice, and have a chat with me. You can Skype the programme. The Skype line is Chat with Richie. That's all one word. It won't cost you a penny. Chat with Richie. You can phone 0161 818 2018. That's 0161 818 2018. If you're calling from outside the UK, drop the zero, and it's +44 161 818 2018. The meme, I believe, is on the Facebook page, which I've nothing to do with, and I haven't had for over 3 months. And the meme is on Twitter. Chat with Richie on Skype. It won't cost you a cent, I tells you.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever. Forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Indeed, indeed. It's interesting that Skype released a new version in the last few days. It caused us a few problems the other evening with Alana, but then we got Alana on last night. That was fascinating, by the way. If you missed my discussion with Alana Freeland, it is on YouTube. What I'm doing now after the programme is I'm just putting the programme on YouTube minus the music. Doing it myself these days. I explained why a few days ago. Glad to be doing it. I don't want to be doing it, but if there are people who depend on it through YouTube, I'm happy to do it, even though I don't want to be dealing with them. Let me give you the contact details again for the programme. The Skype line is chat with Richie, all one word. Chat with Richie. I need to get rid of those sounds, don't I? It's unbelievable. It updated, you see, and it defaulted to everything, to the default settings. Anyway, I'll have to sort that out in a minute. You can also, it's chat with Richie. You can also phone me, and the phone is 0161 818 2018. That's 0161 818 2018. If you're calling from outside the UK, very simple, you just drop the zero. It's +44. Alright, this is the Turtles on a song called Happy Together. Kind of a satirical song.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me, and lose my mind. Imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together. Toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together.
Let's get rid of the Turtles. Happy Together on the Richie Allen Show, as I'm fiddling around with me knobs to try and figure out how to sort out the settings there. I'll do it. I'll figure it out. We have a caller. Caller, welcome to the programme. How are you? Good evening. You've got to be there because we're connected. Hello? And now they're not there. What could be going on? I don't know. What's going on is the answer. Hello there, caller. Are you with me now? No. All right. So what I'll do then. Ah, this is madness, isn't it? This is madness, you see. This is the joy of not having an engineer at your beck and call. This is the joy of not having access to the things that mainstream broadcasters have access to. We're going to try this again. God damn it. And this time it might work. Hello, caller. Hello. Hello. It ain't working. This ain't good. Oh, my God. Right. I don't know what's happening. You know that there was an issue the other evening. There's a whole new version of Skype. And I had to get Paul Ripley, my engineer, out to reconfigure everything. It was a software as much... It was a hardware as much as a software problem, and thought that it was all sorted, but it seems not. Should be able to take phone calls, but it seems that I'm not able to do that. So, what am I going to do in the meantime? I've just got to take some more music while I try and figure it out. And failing that, there won't be a phone-in. It's amateur night tonight. This programme gets lauded for its professionalism, if not for my ability to present it, at least for its professional sounding dynamic. But today, there's an issue with that. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to try and figure it out. Look, if I figure it out, I'll figure it out. If I don't, I don't. And we'll just rock on, eh? We'll just rock on. One thing we won't do is get flustered, annoyed, or wound up about it. This is Philip Lynott, and the boys are back in town.
But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town. I said, the boys are back in town. Shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place.
Right, we'll try it now. We might have sorted it, we might not. We're going to give it one more try. That was Philip Lynott and Thin Lizzy. Caller, welcome. Good evening. No, it ain't happening. Calls are trying to get through, but I can't answer them. I can answer them, but we can't hear one another. So sadly, it's back to the drawing board. Thin Lizzy and the boys are back in town, still working this problem. Lots and lots and lots of calls coming in, phone calls coming in from here in the UK and from outside the country, but at the moment I can't take them. I just can't take them. So what I'm going to have to do is I've got one more trick up my sleeve, because when Mr. Ripley was here the other day going through this with me, I did take some notes in the event that this was to happen again. No problem speaking to my guest Nicola Williams in the first hour. I have changed accounts though, because I have a personal account and I have a phone-in account, obviously, and that might be an issue, but I'm looking at that and I'll do my best to sort it out. And all I can do in the meantime is really play some music and try and figure it out and hopefully get this sorted so that we can take some calls. A lot of calls coming in, but sorry for the moment, you've just got to bear with me while I work this problem. All right. Okay, tell you what we'll do. Quick break, back in a minute with more.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever. Forever.
Confidence is a preference for the habitual voyeur of what is known as. A morning suit can be avoided if you take a route straight through what is known as. John Scott Brewer's crew, he gets intimidated by the dirty pigeons. They love a bit of him. Who's that gut lord marching? You should cut down on your pork life, mate. Get some exercise.
Yeah, I think I sorted it. Some man for one man, huh? I tells you.
I get up when I want, except on Wednesdays when I get rudely awakened by the dustman. I put my trousers on, have a cup of tea, and then
I'll think about leaving the ass. Right, 17 minutes past the hour, 17 minutes later than I'd anticipated taking phone calls. I think I sorted it. Caller, good evening.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me, Richie?
Ah, I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me, more importantly?
I can, woo!
I tell you what, hang on a second.
Fantastic.
While I just jump around screaming. It's the first time in my life that I solved a technical problem. Eh? It's the first time. Who am I speaking with, by the way?
My name's Pete, Richie. Nice to talk to you, buddy. How you doing?
Pete, I'm thrilled, mate. Thanks for phoning the show. I'm praying that you have an argument for me. Argue with me, Pete. Tell me I'm a Muppet. The floor is yours. What would you like to say?
Well, I'd never call you a Muppet, but I'd also tell you sometimes that I think maybe perhaps the point of attention is in the wrong place. So if I might first start off with a little story, if I may.
Of course, Pete. Go ahead.
And then I'll probably relate maybe to tonight's issue. Okay.
Go ahead, mate.
Well, say tonight's subject that was discussed. So I'm in the rather wonderful position that my partner is expecting a baby in the next 3 weeks.
Congratulations, mate.
Thank you, mate. We're going to have a little boy. So if he's anything like me, God help me. but, you know, being very aware of, you know, of obviously the topics, which we'll go through now, but we all know what they are. And thankful to people like yourself and David Icke and Satnam Spanarchi and many other very good people. We've decided to have a home birth. We don't see a childbirth as a personal health emergency, which you've got to consider that just again on how this all has been developed in our minds as the years have gone on. Why do we immediately need to go to a hospital to have a child?
Yeah.
Why is the... I'll give you an example. My partner's mum, when she heard the news of my partner's decision to have a home birth, her first response was, what happens if the umbilical cord gets caught around the baby's neck? Now, this was a mum to a daughter, and there was no harm in it. There was nothing, any of malice, but I'm saying is to give an idea of the general consensus or the general viewpoint that we have no facts to base upon. Like, where are we getting that from? Where is that fear coming from? That we've decided that a natural occurrence of a birth that's been done for many, many thousands of years has suddenly now necessarily needs to turn into a health emergency, like you've been hit by a car.
Yeah.
So just a thought to everybody on that one. But anyway, we decided to have a home birth. We've had no state involvement whatsoever. Okay. All of a sudden this afternoon, my partner received a phone call. And he said, hello. I'm such and such a person from the doorstep social services. And my partner, being at work, she said, all right. And he said, and by the way, my partner's self-employed, so this will give more substance to the story. He then proceeded to say, oh, we've had an anonymous phone call. You're pregnant, as I understand. Okay.
I'm listening. I'm gripped by this, yep. Pete. Go ahead.
Okay. He said, I understand you're pregnant. And immediately, partner being a savvy person, she turned around and said, well, look, I understood this to be a business call. It clearly isn't. I'll call you back. And he said, what time do you finish? Now, let's straight away look at the state of mind. Because whether people are gripped, again, the purpose of my call is to start saying, guys, have a think of your state of mind. Because even though in the most informed, I guarantee this is not the question that most people would think. What is the mindset of somebody who believes they can call a stranger, another person, another man or another woman, to another man or woman, believe they can call someone out of the blue and ask some of the most personal questions about their circumstances? And whether they obtain that information is another matter, but have the mindset that they believe that they have the right to that person's personal information.
That they have authority.
Well, forget the authority, because they don't.
Natural law
states quite clearly they don't.
But I agree.
It's the mindset that people need to realise. They need to start, if they're going to have any way of making their life a lot easier and access the many wonderful gifts that all of us have, is to start understanding you all have, everybody, including myself, everybody has been affected by some form of mind virus. And this is a mind virus in the way that we've been schooled. We say we've been schooled like fishes. We've been schooled on how to behave. Comes back to the Prussian education system, if people want to have a look into that. Right out of the Frankfurt schools and all sorts of other things. This is a very firm education that will rigidly formalize your thought process, formalize your opinion. Whether you have critical thinking or not is another matter, but it's to accept that these dark sorcerers, shall we say, have got our psychology, basically screwed from top to bottom. And believe it or not, all the information, all those skills to counteract it, they're all out there in public information for you just to grab hold of. But the point of attention, and then realizing that, they want you to move the point of attention from one place to here. So I'll thank you very much for listening, Richie. I'll continue, if I may, with the story.
Do continue with the story. This is very important. So your partner is contacted by this man who claims to be representing the local authority, social services.
I beg your pardon, Richie. Forgive me to interrupt. He called the name of the company, which I learned is obviously it's the Social Services Department. They're called the Front Doorstep, which I thought was wonderful.
Front Doorstep, right.
Lovely, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I'll be lifting somebody off the front doorstep.
Yeah.
I won't, of course. Those are the ways to tackle it.
No, but I could. I can tell it's roiled you. You know, you're obviously moderate and you're calm.
I've been in the Marines.
But you're not too happy about it, to say the least.
Well, in regards to why should we?
Yeah.
I've got somebody who is a complete stranger. And this I'll continue with them, finish off the story.
Yeah, go ahead, Pete. This is important. Go ahead.
His next comment was then to reply when she said, and he says, what time do you finish? And my partner, not the way I would have gone about it, but gone on her, she gave him an answer. She complied, as it were. And she provided him an answer and said, 6:30. And his response was, we'll be closed then. Can't you call earlier? And I quote, to what he believed to be a pregnant woman, turned around and said to her, don't you get some sort of fag break?
No way.
Well,
wow.
Whatever. I'm not here to demonize that individual. I have a very colorful history. I have a very ancient family line, and I've done many things. So I understand this, and people could easily understand this.
So the upshot basically is, I want to see you, or I want to hear from you, and I want you to get back to me in a timely fashion.
I can indeed, but let me finish off with the final thing, because this is the most important thing.
Go ahead.
He then turned around in reply, and this is what I'd say about the sickness of people. He turned around and said, I may very well call you back tonight, I may not. And he said, don't you think you should call me back tonight? I mean, won't you worry? Now, let's analyze that for a second. What does someone think of themselves, or shall we say, the gang that they represent, or even their possible intention or ability to what they've done to people in the past case? You know, I've heard social service workers on your show. I've heard them on other shows, and I've heard them say, I think it's a bit of an unfair rap. You know, there are people that care. Not concerning that, but I'm saying is, here we have somebody saying such a thing, already tipping the hand of their mentality in the way they talk. And if you listen to people in the way they talk, they will quite easily show you the door in what their intentions are or what they think. And that can show a weakness, by the way. Someone turning around to them and basically saying, I would infer that to mean, shouldn't you be intimidated not to call us back? Do you not understand what we potentially could do to you?
There's an implied threat there. There's no doubt about that, if that's what he said. And I have no reason to doubt you. So the context of the mindset is
what I'm interested in.
Yeah.
I think it's a very sad state of affairs. Now, my immediate thing, and of course I keep you updated, not a problem. I'm happy to do so. But this leads me on to the next point of why I would say, in most people, I would get from the general consensus I've listened to, and would have been mine, is right, okay, well, best prepare myself for a confrontation. Second option might be, let's call my solicitor. You're going to go look at that word to consider that option as a not an option. Solicit. Okay. Third option would be to the most things have not, and this is, I suppose, where the argument could come from to you. And I do like many of the things you say because they do make me chuckle. I do like your sense of humour, and I think if I sat down and had a drink with you, I'd probably have quite a giggle. But I've heard you say, turn around, there was a particular topic when you were a little bit upset, I think at one point, you were commenting on about common law. Now, let me help people with a few things on this. the main reason why any of you should be concerned would be the fact of the birth certificate. Okay? I know you've had the likes of Jordan Maxwell on. I know there's been the wordplay of, yeah, there's a doctor in the dock. There's a birth, as in for a naval birth, for a ship. Well, that's all very well. But the next step is to take that further and really try and understand what it all means. Because that will then open the door for you to get the information that you can to protect yourselves. Theresa May said on the news some time ago, she said, we are all, every citizen in this country is ruled by consent. Now, all of us might seem that as hilarious, but it's true. It's done by consent. Can I tell you what starts the consent? As outrageous as it is, do you know what starts the consent?
I've heard these arguments before, and you know I don't agree with them, but I'm delighted that you're bringing them up again.
Well, good, let's have an argument, of a polite one, amongst gentlemen. What would you like to know, and what argument have you heard to make you think, well, this is all nonsense, I'm not wasting my time?
I don't think the thoughts, the beliefs, the feelings, and the understandings of people are nonsense. I don't at all. And I don't dismiss the concept of ancient laws and common law. I don't dismiss them out of hand. But I've been around, Pete. I've been around reporting on court cases and reporting on the law for over 20 years. And I've never seen a man or a woman walk into a court of law and present common law and present their inalienable human rights and their right to self-determination and their right to this or that.
I completely agree with you.
So that's what I say. I don't dismiss...
No. I agree with you. And the reason why you wouldn't have said that is because under the rule system, they don't know who they are. Common law, and let me make people aware of this, common law does not exist in this country. As much as people would like to think it does, and I'm going to mispronounce this, which always bugs me because I'm very adamant about word etymology and pronunciation. Could you help me out with this, Richie?
Don't depend on me, Pete. Go ahead.
We can club it together. I think it's called habeas corpus.
You're spot on, habeas corpus, yeah. Yeah,
thank you.
Spot on.
That is not being applied. And when we do not have habeas corpus, then there is no common law. The three types of law that we do have that are in operation are the three. Administrational law. Maritime law, which essentially is commercial and banking law. The third one, believe it or not, is Talmudic law.
Yeah.
Those are the three types of laws that are in operation. And if you don't know what to say, you don't know how to to operate under those three laws, or you don't understand the origins, then yes, you will walk in there and you will get lovely lambs to a slaughter. So the first thing in where people can start with this, rather than getting bamboozled, first of all, I'd recommend a very, very good website, if I may.
Richie? Absolutely, go
obviously,
ahead.
I'd always say, look, get your own personal information. Richie's not endorsing this, but have a look, see what you think.
Absolutely.
It may
Put
lead
it
you
out
on
there.
To other things.
Put it out there, Pete.
I would have a look at a gentleman called Steve McRae. He's on YouTube for his sins. Okay. I will get you the address now.
Just get me the link, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't want to be putting you under any pressure, but I want to move it along. I'm happy to keep you on.
Very quickly to finish this off for you. So Steve McRae, have a look at it. It's the truth, the illegal use of the legal name. Just go on YouTube, you'll find it.
And I'm very interested in this, you see, Pete, contrary to what you think, I am very interested in it.
I know you are, mate, but I'm saying is, understand, you've got a busy life, and goodness knows, Christ, you're out there every day trying to put information out, organising guests.
Do you know what
this
I think,
is
Pete?
Why, as the person said, we need to work together.
Do you know what I think? And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to give you the absolute final word on it. And I'm not going to interrupt you, and I'm not going to editorialise after
you've gone.
Go ahead,
my friend.
I think no matter how much you know this stuff, if you know it backwards, frontwards, sideways, whatever, I think it makes not a jot of difference when you walk into an English court of law. I really believe that. And I will believe it till my dying day. Now, I said I would shut up. I'm shutting up. Your retort, my friend. And then I won't I won't say anything when you're gone.
I will make it brief. Okay, my retort would be this. This is basing it on a number of variables and assumptions that you would go ahead and do this. There are certain courts of law, for example, such as the, you know, your county courts or what have you. They are not government-owned. The government is not even government-owned. It is a corporation. It is on the stock market. It is on Dun & Bradstreet. It is on your various commercial international credit report search systems. It's all there. But that, I will put that to one side because I want to give you some helpful information as a retort. The birth certificate, as it starts off, if you have a look at your own birth certificate, one, two very big differences. It's not a live birth record. The birth certificate is simply says on there, Crown copyright. Now, by registering your children, by doing all of that, basically you are using Crown copyright fraudulently. And therefore, that is how, under these laws, because this answers your question, Richie, is these three types of laws. If you are able to demonstrate you know who you are, currently we are run under a system called parens patriae. Have a look at that in the Legalese Dictionary, yeah. Everybody. It's basically saying we are termed in the legalese definition, we are either infirmed, not of competent age, or sound mind. We have all been diagnosed as either an adolescent, mental or infirmed, or dead. Those are the three statuses. So by understanding the laws and being able to simply declare who you are, being able to get your own coat of arms. Have you ever wondered, just as a final retort, Richie, and I'll ask you this question. Have you ever wondered why these billionaires, these companies and everything else, they don't own anything? They don't pay any tax. Why is this?
Yeah, and several years ago, these institutions managed to acquire the right of single people, didn't they? Corporations.
They did indeed. But that's actually still not the reason. Do you know the reason?
I don't, but you're going to tell me, hopefully.
Hopefully, yes. The reason is because they have put their assets and taken them from the public debt industry, which is what our country is purely set up for. This is anybody else who's out there think voting's a good idea.
The debt economy, yeah.
It's a debt economy. That's all it is. And that's what's classed as being in the public. This is what always makes me giggle, in a rather twisted way. When people make the argument, this lady came on and was sitting there arguing the idea of taking something from public and, you know, taking it out from the private and putting it in the public. It does not mean that. It doesn't mean that. It's still, the whole country's owned by somebody else. So it doesn't matter. What it's basically saying is taking you out of the public remit and putting yourself into the private remit. Okay? Basically, what they do is they create themselves a trust within a trust. Okay? They have a will and testament. They have a will and testament. For not only is their intent in life, but also, sorry, in death, but also in life. If you take this back, as I already mentioned, this is mainly set around originally, around the Pope, the Pontific, the Roman cult, deciding that everybody's ass and every item on this world belong to him.
Yeah.
Okay, and he set up several trusts. Kester Savi would be one of them. Okay, now basically by doing this, unless someone puts their estate into a trust, so everyone's got a surname. Okay, everyone's got a surname. By creating your own coat of arms, your own documents, this is why another reason why these people walk into court. This is why this freeman on the land, they come in and they make claims. You know, claims to their inalienable rights. Well, you can't claim something if you already own it. If you take this back to, and I'm not interested in people's beliefs, this is not God, it's interested in their beliefs. If you take things back to, say, a Talmudic law point of view, the divine creator provided every person, on every man and woman, not a person, but a man and a woman, they provided every man and woman, they had the custodial rights of this earth. And that included even their body. Nothing was owned, You can't put your hand, your arm around a house and own it, but you do have custodial rights. And the custodial rights is simply the only way that they can be formulated is they need to be declared. So, for example, the Pope and Christopher Columbus, or should I say Colonia, when he went over there on, you know, over to America and went, probably didn't go down this way, probably a lot more killing and smallpox in blankets and various other heinous, horrible things. But let's say it goes down this way. He turns around, sticks a flag in the ground, said, "Oi, boys, this country belongs to us now." And the Indians' reply was, "Well, nobody owns anything. We're all walk the land. We all have custodial rights to use it. There is abundance everywhere." And they said, "Well, I'm very sorry, but if you look at the law system we've developed, unless you don't declare what's yours, that gives us free rights to everything." And that, by the birth certificate and everything, and numerous other things that people can look into, will basically declare and demonstrate that through maritime law, through Talmudic law and administrational law, let's focus on maritime law. The birth certificate
we're slaves from birth, effectively.
Say again.
Effectively, it's enslavement from birth.
Well, it's basically saying under the many gods, Dagon, the fish god, the harlot of the waters, the Dame Hospitaller, or the Queen of England, Britannia, or Boeotia, however you want to slice it, these people are pirates, and therefore they cannot access. This is why you have the Statue of Liberty. The Statue of Liberty, people think it means freedom. No, it doesn't. It means permission to have liberty. This is why also you'll notice, where's the Statue of Liberty, which France gave him, the Masons of that particular cult I won't go into. Why is not the Statue of Liberty in the middle of New York? No, it's not. It's in the harbour. Why do they put maritime measurement lines to show, the sea level inland? Because it's a symbolic way of them saying this is how we come onto the water, onto the land.
And I've covered, and as you mentioned, I've covered a lot of this with Jordan over the years, over the last 10 years. One of the things I said to him, and I'm going to say it to you, and then we're going to wrap it up for today.
By all means,
but I'm very interested in this, and I'm interested in this Steve McRae that you mentioned. I'm going to look...
make one comment to you.
But just before you do, hang on. Just before you do, let me just finish that point there.
You've been very kind. Thank you.
Not at all, no. The point I made to Jordan, the point I'm going to make to you is this, true or untrue, and I think there's a lot of merit to what you're saying, goes over the heads of the vast majority of people. Now, let me bring it back to the disgusting phone call that your partner received. How, heaven forbid, I don't know if there's a God or not, but if people decide, because of your beliefs, because of your... because of the life you lead, because of the things you believe, because of the things you read, because of the things you say. If someone has...
I would correct you, it's not the things I believe, it's the things I know. My son's life depends on it.
Okay, fair enough, right, okay. I'm not arguing with that, Pete. I'm on the same page as you.
I'm just obviously trying to demonstrate there's a lot of things that we believe. If we know them, we have to know them because it's our responsibility to do so.
I'm not contradicting you at all. So everything you're saying... So everything you're saying is bang on. Like I said, I've heard this argument from Jordan and others, and I don't dispute the legitimacy of it. My point is, I keep bringing it back to this, and I'm going to give you 60 seconds, and then I'm going to move on. I should have been taking one or two more calls.
Very kind, mate.
Not at all. No. Listen, I'm not patronising you. I want to revisit this.
And there you are. I'm saying I'm very grateful for the time you gave me. Thank you.
So my question would be, supposing nefarious people at councils decide they want to make life difficult for you and your partner, as I said, heaven forbid, how could any of this knowledge be useful to you in dealing with them?
Well, I'll tell you exactly how. They'll be presented with the certified trust. They will be presented with the certified paperwork. They will be presented with my coat of arms and the legitimacy and the truth affidavit that has been ratified and acknowledged by the Pope. They will be provided that paperwork and then realise, whether they realise at the lower levels or not, which I know they, I'm pretty sure they don't, the whole, what, well, the whole the question back to you very quickly, Rich, is why are they doing this? Let's look at the most nefarious reason and say, why has this phone call been made? Let's think of the most horrible thing that could happen. What's the nefarious reason on why this gentleman would have called today?
Well, look, you know, I've spoken to dozens of people who've dealt with...
Don't pull your punches, buddy. I'm asking.
Well, they've got designs on the child, right?
Exactly. So but every criminal who wants to operate and hide behind a rule system, a law system that's far higher than the laws of man, if you get my meaning.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Otherwise, there's comeback. They have to then behave within those laws. I haven't got time to go into that now, but obviously you can get my gist. So the point being is, if they're incentive, they need to use one of three ways. They need to use the Mr. or Mrs. or Doc or whatever title. They need to either use that, my name or my address, to get joiner. But if I've already pulled everything into out of the public and into the private, then I've already declared who I am. I'm a man, a living man whose blood runs through his veins. It's all there in paperwork. It's not just me coming to a judge and arguing. Yeah. They don't give a shit. Yeah. They don't give a shit about that.
No.
They realise that being ratified by the Pope again, I will mention.
Would you do me a favour, Steve? Would you? I shouldn't say do me a favour because I've only met you today.
But I'll do you a favour. I'm here to help humanity. That's my purpose.
Would you consider speaking to one or two people that have been in touch with me over the years, people like Ian Joseph and stuff? Because I would. I'm going to say something now that might get me into trouble, but I'll say it anyway. I would say to any man, woman, any couple, if they come to believe this phone call might not necessarily be as bad as maybe the worst case scenario, and I wouldn't be jumping the gun, your partner is pregnant, it's a wonderful thing, it should be the best time of your lives. If you
it will be.
If you come to believe that they're going to try and interfere in the process, get out of the country, is what I would say.
Yes, I understand. And I understand.
I would say, get the fuck out of the country. And that's why I said, speak to Ian Joseph. There's a friend of mine in Wexford in Ireland who's
I will speak to him, and I do appreciate the information.
That's all I would say. Who am I to tell anybody what to do?
I will speak to them. Because as I said, with the very thing that I'm trying to say, stay open-minded, is I'm trying to demonstrate to people, okay, whether Einstein said this or not, but it was rumoured to come from Einstein, was to say a problem cannot be solved at the same consciousness of what was formed.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying is where a lot of people, there are many excellent things that I have learned on your show, and I thank you for that. You're a good man. However...
Yeah.
You understand what your platform is because you understand your purpose, which is brilliant. And I believe that is for most people. As you said, I'm a platform. I'm not anybody. I don't agree with that. And I don't think you should say that. You're a good man. In the context of not being a narcissist, no, you're not a narcissist. You're a good man who's trying to do things and be out there and put yourself out there because you believe in doing the right thing. So you are a good man and you are somebody. And you should know your own personal worth. And I'm telling you whether you know it or not. But people understand this radio show. I would see this as a platform, as a diving, a springboard to get yourself started.
It's a platform for people that have something to say that can't say it elsewhere. That's
completely,
all it is.
But what do you do with that knowledge? You get started and you start developing your own. I'll tell you, because I've worked with these people, I know how they view us. They view us as less than human. And it's the equivalent. This is the sickness of what that they're not even in control. I can tell you categorically on an etheric level, which I know lots about, but I won't scare people on that regard, is they don't even have contact with the bad entity that they all started this nonsense with, because they feel they're greater than gods now. They see us. You can look at all sorts of imagery, all the symbols that I know inside and out. And that's from my own learning and my own family line, is they all consider us as dead. And in some ways, and this is controversial in certain contexts, well, I'll go down this line. This is an equivalent that I heard a friend of mine say, and I said, yeah, I think that's a very true demonstration, which is it's the equivalent what they have done. It's the equivalent of, like, and it is a bit graphic, so do excuse me, but it's like breaking the hind legs of a cow and then getting angry with said cow because they won't get up off the ground.
Yeah.
And this is the attitude of the elites. They know what their original goal was, and it's been, they've gone mad, essentially. So anybody who thinks that they said the system's going to sort it out, the system's nothing, it's a bit of paper. What we're talking about is a group of people who are currently benefiting from the system, currently don't know how to change the system, and would happily walk us all off the edge of the world if we let them. Now, there are so many amazing things that all of you have inside you. Whether you believe me or not, I don't care. You can find it. We talk about Arthur Balfour. You can see, about the declaration for the Zionist state and all that. Anyone know that that guy was a sorcerer? Does anyone know that that's publicly documented? That he belonged to several occult and magical societies?
Now, we're segueing off into...
I'm just demonstrating the point.
I understand.
People's consciousness is where it is.
Yeah.
If you decide to develop it and do shows like yourself to develop one's consciousness, discover more things, you will no longer look, when you give me that situation, there are many other things that I already am looking at it from a very, very different angle.
I don't look at levels or authority,
but I'm looking at it from a much more...
Pete, I appreciate that. And when I said what I said about leaving, that... was me being honest in terms of that's what I would say to anybody.
That's understandable.
But I'm simply saying,
all I'm trying to demonstrate is if you learn that extra bit of information, and I'd say please, all of you, I only say this because
can I say it to you before, because we are going to run out of time.
Can I say it to you,
listen, why not cover your bases? Why not go to forced-adoption.com and get in touch with Ian Joseph and let him know, he'll phone you back, let him know that you had the phone call. That's all it's been. Your partner has just had the phone call. It could be something of nothing. And just arm yourself with as much as you possibly can. I'm not in any way saying deviate from the path.
I can do.
Why not? There's no harm.
What I'd probably be more interested in doing is I'm quite happy to give you a more updated account of what's happened and the success of what I've had.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, I'd love nothing more, Steve, than for you to come back and say we're successful.
A system which is failing, that these people are not dangerous. But in regards of the thing I was going to just quickly mention is I hear that subject tonight, and this is where people get hoodwinked, and this is my basis of knowledge. There was a very nice lady, I didn't get her name, about the rights and the cause that she was trying to, they were fighting for, and... fine, about basically whether the birth certificate should be amended or not amended. Now, things like this is where people get hoodwinked and they win either way. If that is allowed to go through and that attack failed, or that protest failed, then basically they send the public, hopefully the public, a little bit more nuts with the crazy that they send every 5 minutes to take people's point of attention somewhere else.
Tell you what I'll do, Pete. We're out of time. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in touch.
I'm sorry for just consuming all your time. Not at all.
I was happy to listen to you. If I wasn't happy to listen to you, I would have politely moved on and taken another call. I was happy because it's important. I'm going to invite Steve McRae onto the program for an extended chat to talk about this. Let me know. My email address, richie@richieallen.co.uk. Send me an email and send me a number. Let me know how you get on over the next couple of days, and keep all your options open is all I would say. I'm certainly not trying to insinuate that I'm some sort of expert. I'm not, but
I would also say, again, with the knowledge and understanding, I did mention this thing about the psychology of people's, you know, the elites knowing the inside and outs, you know, of the elites know the inside and out of our psyche. So let me just quickly put a theory to you.
I don't have any time. We're gone. Yeah, we're absolutely out of time. I've got to get out.
Thank you very much for the advice, mate.
Not at all. Thanks for telling us that. And do let me know how it goes in the next few days.
I will do. Love and light to you all, guys.
And congratulations to you and your partner.
Thank you, mate.
And keep your eyes open.
Take care.
Cheers, Pete. Bye for now. That was Pete there who phoned in. And he talked about plans that he had and his partner for the birth of their child. She's pregnant. And a rather sinister phone call that she received from somebody connected to social services. And he talked there about common law and maritime law and Talmudic law and the laws that he believes, Pete believes, and others, people like Jordan Maxwell, a great friend of mine who've been on this programme, who say are, you know, basically the tools that are used to enslave us and to keep us in this bondage from birth and all of that. I'm not unsympathetic to it. I never have been unsympathetic to it. I've never been dogmatic about it. But it's not something I would trust in if I was to have to deal with the court system in this country. And that's not to say that people like Pete, people like David Shaler, people like Jordan Maxwell and others are wrong. I'm just saying, and I've said before, because of the forced adoption issue in this country, as it is, and I've been in commercial and national radio for years, I'm a real journalist, qualified up to the wazoo, multiple degrees, right? That doesn't mean anything, but in terms of the system, it means something. Doesn't mean anything between us. Doesn't make me bright. But I'm a qualified man by their standards. And I am saying, knowing what I know now, we wouldn't stick around in this country if we were to have a child. And Oxford-educated law students are telling people, when these people come knocking on your door and start talking to you about what you're doing and what you have to do in terms of how your baby has to be brought up and what you have to do around vaccinations and other things, experts, certifiable experts, are saying to people, get out of the country. I'm going to leave you and love you with that. I'll be back with you again Sunday morning at 11 a.m. UK time for Sunday View, as usual. Glad I got the phones sorted out. Sorry to the calls I didn't take. Promise you next week I'll open the phones again. A lot of calls came in before I was able to fix it, and quite a few calls were coming in when I was speaking with Pete, but it was that interesting. I wanted to hear more from him. I will open the phone lines again next week. I'll do it for longer. I'll do it for 90 minutes, and we'll give everybody a maximum of 2 minutes, and we'll take as many calls as we possibly can. Thanks to Pete for coming on and talking about that. Massively interesting to me. I'm not dogmatic about these things, common law, and I'm not, but I'm also a bit pragmatic, and maybe that's where people think I'm being dismissive of their ideas. I'm pragmatic when it comes to these things. Thanks to Dr. Nicola Williams for coming on to talk to us about the Gender Recognition Act and what it's going to mean for women. Have a great weekend. Look after yourselves and one another. Pray for Richie that it doesn't rain tomorrow evening. I can go and watch a bit of cricket at Old Trafford. Until Sunday morning. It's bye for me. Going to leave you with Paul Rogers and Free. This is All Right Now. Bye for now.
There she stood in the street, smiling from her head to her foot. I said, hey, a
home.